your prerogative when my son returns.
Welcome to Marvel.
Yeah, welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Cliff here. I'm back. I said I'd be back. I don't know what you're worried about. Fresh off vacation, feeling relaxed, feeling sun-kissed. Didn't get burned, so that's good. I was applying 50 like three times a day as I sat by the pool. Finally, I got that whittled down to about 30. The 30 sunscreen did some good. I got a nice little tan. I can't wait for it to go away in about 2.5 days. It's a little chilly here. It's not as bad as I thought, though. Everywhere you go, you know, when you're coming from Florida up here to Hartford, Hartford BDL Airport, every flight attendant, every announcement, every person's like, oh, you leaving Florida, going up to that cold weather? You know, just, we get it. Like, we live there. It's fine. But we do get the Christmas season coming up. Obviously, no podcast last week, so I missed you guys and couldn't wait to get on the pod today. Last week, you know, obviously a crazy week in the NFL. But this past week was even crazier just because of the schedule. Three games on Thursday. You had the disgusting Black Friday game featuring my New York Jets. Your regular slate, 1 p.m., 4:30 p.m. on Sunday. The Sunday night game, Monday night game. I mean, just games all week. I got to give props to my wife. She let me stream the Lions game. She didn't let me. I do what I want, but no, I was poolside, though. I think I might have sent you guys a picture. And it was just cool. You know, she was reading a book, and I asked her, you know, do you mind if I throw on the Lions game? And she was cool with it. So sipping cocktails at the pool, streaming the game. What a fantastic vacation it was. So I am back. We're going to be talking about, there's a lot of implications from this past week that went down. And we had a nice little news blurb here from a fantasy manager of our league. And this came in at 5:45 a.m. It felt like I was reading the newspaper on my way to work. This is from Tom. And anybody that wants to send any type of blurb or stats or I'll say almost anything on the air. So I told Tom I'm going to read his news blurb here about our league. And I appreciate him, you know, waking up and looking right away. I'm sure that's what it feels like to be in the playoff hunt. You're waking up after the Monday night games and seeing what the layout is. So this is straight from Tom, Pillar of Fire. I am surprised by how early our league playoff teams have been determined. Technically, there are still three teams in the mix for the last spot. But even with that spot, there's a heavy favorite. With 2 weeks left in our regular season, five teams have locked up a playoff berth, and four teams have been eliminated. I'm one of them. In my other two ESPN leagues, no one is eliminated yet. In the other, only two have clinched a playoff spot. In other league news, the X-Men continued their dominance as each won their matchup this week. When he says X-Men, he's talking about the X-Men division, which consists of Greg's team, Maddie Rivers' team, Gage, and Tom's team. And while each of the Guardians division lost their matchup, it's not just their win-loss records that have the X-Men on top of the league. These teams are all in the top five in points for, with Elliot squeaking into the fourth spot, 2.44 points ahead of Tom. Hope you and your wife had a fabulous trip. So, Tom, I appreciate that. That news blurb, hadn't even got into the office yet. I like looking at the playoff scenarios, and he's right. Four teams officially eliminated from playoff contention. Those teams are myself. Even on a two-game winning streak, I only had a 1% chance anyway, so whoever I needed to lose just did not lose, and I think that was Elliot. So I am officially eliminated, so which means the championship belt is officially up for grabs. It's like a ladder match. Remember those old ladder matches? That my belt is suspended in the rafters. Who's going to climb the ladder and grab it? The next person eliminated, Joe Chick, Sweet Chick Music. Two losses in a row did not help his cause. As Tom said, the Guardians division is on a 1-6 game losing streak right now. As in total, nobody has a win this week. Next up, eliminated, Alicia, Unleash the Beast, her fabulous 15-2 season from last year. Couldn't be repeated this year. She is eliminated. And lastly, Yeeter Skeeters, Jason Kelly, also officially eliminated after two losses in a row. I should have mentioned Alicia had three losses in a row. Definitely not helping her cause. Before we get to our playoff teams and teams that are vying for playoff positions, I can officially say, that was my trumpet. I can officially say myself, Joe Chick, are out of the Build-A-Bear Bowl. We will not be taking a teddy bear to lunch. I'm sure Joe Chick is happy about that, but he also had playoff hopes. I'm, you know, been sitting at two wins most of the year, so with my two wins in a row, I'm very happy to say I have dodged the bullet of having the most points scored against me, and I'm not coming in last place, which means the official head-to-head battle for the Build-A-Bear Bowl will be between Unleash the Beast, Alicia, taking on Yeeter's Skeeters. You folks have two more weeks to go. They're tied at 2-10, two wins each. And Jason has a significant points edge on Alicia. Alicia is going to have to squeak out at least a win and hope for multiple losses from Jason here moving forward, because Jason has just over a 50-point lead advantage here. So we're getting down to the wire. Alicia's going to have to pull some magic out of her hat. And Yeeter Skeeters, let's see if he keeps starting those Cleveland Browns. You know, three of them. I think that's what's been doing them in. Just not turning to other players. But let's get to the main event here just in the pre-show. And that is our playoff contender. So when we switch over to the playoff bracket, as of right now, even in a loss versus myself, which, again, I'd be spoiling, you know, some of these matchups here today. But Chicken Tendies, still the number one seed in the league, sitting at 10-2. With the second seed, also a bye week, is going to be in the hunt, Elliot Shabelli. As of right now, that makes sense. Moving on. Position three is going to be Greg's team, who is surging. We'll talk about his team and matchup coming up soon, but he's sitting at 8-4. He's the three seed. The four seed, Teddy Bears, Matty Rivers, 8-4. Makes sense, right? The five seed, Dixie Normus, also sitting at 8-4 because of points advantage going to the Teddy Bears and sneaking into the playoffs as of right now, and I would say somewhat comfortably, is the Pillar of Fire at 7-5, one less win than the 3-8-4 teams ahead of him. But they're all in the same division. I haven't looked at schedule yet. Maybe he plays one of them and can have a chance to move up a little bit here. But yeah, as of right now, that is four teams in that division making it into the playoffs. Greg, Matty, Gage, and Tom. With Elliot and Josh, the leaders of their divisions, rightfully so, would be getting a bye week if playoffs started now. So we'll see. The only way that the three divisions is going to hurt somebody, and there's nothing we can do about it this year, but just we've been keeping an eye on it all year long, right? Only way it's going to hurt somebody is if, let's say, Greg or Matty or Gage are 8-4. If they somehow have a better record than Elliot, who's 9-3, as the second place team. So let's say Greg finishes at 10-4. No, see, this is gonna work out. I was just kind of spitballing here, and I thought I saw something, but I didn't. This is going to work out with the three divisions. So the argument of saying, oh, I play in a stacked division. Well, as of right now, it is looking like all four in that division should be getting in, with very slim chances for Chris Roach or Taylor to sneak in there. Tom would have to lose both his matchups. Taylor or Chris would have to win both their matchups and then significantly outscore Tom as well. Let's see what the percentage says. It looks like 96% chance Tom is taking that last playoff spot, which means our playoffs are pretty much set. Like Tom said in his blurb, we have our Build-A-Bear Bowl, Jason versus Alicia, which means there's four teams that are pretty much out of it. I'd say continue to start your lineups. This feels like the closing of the show, but we're just getting going. I'm going to be doing studs and duds and matchups. And there was a matchup of the week, even though Tom did mention that he didn't think there was. I think upon further review, there was a matchup of the week. So let's get into it right meow. Thomas Beggs didn't think there was a matchup of the week this week. He didn't think there was a worthy choice. But Tom forgot that it's not always about most points scored. It's not always about heroic efforts on Monday Night Football to get you the win. Sometimes it's about playoff implications. Pillar of Fire taking on Sweet Chick Music. Pillar of Fire takes the win 117 to 87. Was that reverse psychology, Tom? Tom, matchup of the week goes to you. 117 points, gets the win, and almost locks up an official playoff spot. This was a huge matchup. I know the score wasn't as close as we wanted for a matchup of the week. There wasn't some late Monday night touchdown to win you the week, but huge, huge, huge for the playoffs. 96% chance of Tom sneaking into those playoffs. Jalen Hurts, 34 fantasy points, 200 yards passing. Not great. 5 total touchdowns, including 2 rushing touchdowns. This man was unstoppable in the second half of the Bills game. They also take the win in overtime. 34 fantasy points for Jalen Hurts. That last touchdown there to end the night for Jalen definitely helped put that, you know, give you the win. As far as your dud goes, we're going to go a twofer here. We're going to a little play on words. Puka Nacua, 4 fantasy points. And Gus Bust Edwards, 4 fantasy points. Not great from them. When your quarterback scores you 34.5 fantasy points, 5 total touchdowns, you do expect to score a little more than 117. So those duds definitely didn't help you. Zach Charbonnet, is he the new A.J. Dillon? I think he's going to go high in drafts next year, and I'm not sure why. I think we're always going to be waiting for Zach Charbonnet. He got the workload, 18 touches, I believe, and only got 7 fantasy points. Not an official dud. You had worse players, but it's just weird. Zach Charbonnet saw the lion's share in that backfield and couldn't get it done. Moving over to Sweet Chick Music. Takes the loss here, only 87 points. Duds all over. Why would I not take the opportunity to go ahead and put George Kittle back in your duds this week? After an epic game last week, 18 fantasy points. He gives you 3 fantasy points this week. Just wasn't needed, really. This is what George Kittle does, up and down, but he has stayed healthy. He is the tight end 3 on the season, but 3 catches, 19 yards, and a blowout win against the Seahawks. Just simply wasn't needed, and unfortunately for Sweet Chick Music, that was the case. As far as your stud, we're going to go Calvin Ridley. This is back-to-back weeks now. 5 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. I believe he was close on a second touchdown, but very quietly somehow, and this is something we want to remember in the fantasy community. So Calvin Ridley is the wide receiver 21 on the season. That is a wide receiver 2. Just in case you weren't doing the math correctly, that means that if we were to redraft today and you draft him, he'd be in your starting lineup every single time as your wide receiver 2. And we just know for a fact that if you have Calvin Ridley on your team, he didn't really help you win this year. If anything, I know Joe Chick cannot wait to get Calvin Ridley off his team. So that's just one of those things where the stats at the end of the year might not match up with what he kind of did for you in the fantasy season itself. I think Calvin Ridley, if you ask Joe Chick, is probably one of the main reasons why his team got buried and is now 4-8 on the season. So no playoffs for Joe Chick this year. But in a league where we have a last place punishment, not the worst to know, hey, I'm not in the playoffs, but I'm guaranteed to not come in last place and do that punishment. So he can enjoy the offseason here. Obviously, all fantasy managers are still to set their lineups and play out the remainder of the regular season. But for Joe Chick's playoffs hopes, those are shot. So he is 4-8 on the season. And congratulations to the matchup of the week in almost a playoff spot. To the pillar of fire sitting at 7-5. Nice job, Tom. All right, our next matchup is going to be between the Yeaters Skeeters, Dixie Normus versus Dixie Normus. Excuse me, can't combine the teams here. And Dixie Normus, Gage takes the win 96-67. Also a big matchup here. One being for Jason trying to get out of the Build-A-Bear Bowl and Gage trying to retain that that playoff spot, and he does so 96-67. Let's take a look at Gage's team here. As far as his stud goes, how about Isaiah Pacheco? Usually at the goal line, the Chiefs over the last several years, you get those little touch passes, shovel passes from Patrick Mahomes, and they go in as a reception to the tight end or wide receivers, Mecole Hardman. Well, Mecole Hardman is on IR, and the Chiefs just aren't the same team. They can't get cute anymore. They feel like they used to be so good that they can make sure that they get Mahomes 3 touchdowns a game by doing these little touch passes at the goal line. No, now they really need to score. They were down 14-0 to the Raiders. No more games at the goal line. You know, Isaiah Pacheco was the benefactor. 55 yards rushing, 2 rushing touchdowns. Again, most of those 2 touchdowns were at the goal line. 23 fantasy points, stud performance after a couple of dud performances by Isaiah Pacheco. As far as your dud goes, it's just not his fault. Breece Hall, 8 fantasy points, 25 yards rushing, just can't get anything going behind that disgusting offensive line. You love the 7 receptions. You love that. You're going to take that all day, but only 24 yards. Every time he touches the ball, there's 2 to 3 defenders already trying to tackle him. I haven't missed a Jets game in years, and this is just something I've been seeing with this offensive line. Whoever's in that backfield is just going to struggle. The good thing about Breece Hall, he only needs 1 play, and that's why you start him every single week. Moving on to the Yeater Skeeters. I mean, what are we going to do, Jay? This is kind of what happens when you start the same bad players every single week. You know, not being too hard on you, but, you know, these Browns players, Jerome Ford, yes, definitely a startable fantasy football player. 65 yards on the ground, 9.9, we'll call it 10 fantasy points on the week. But Kareem Hunt, do you really want the backup running back on a Browns team who has one of the worst offenses in the league in your fantasy lineup? Elijah Moore, I mean, we're not even starting Amari Cooper right now, who is 10 times as talented as Elijah Moore. And, you know, every week I see Elijah Moore in your lineup. 3.9 fantasy points for Elijah Moore. You know, it's just not going to get it done. You did have some good performances here. How about Jalen Waddle and David Montgomery? Jalen Waddle with 15 fantasy points. Same with David Montgomery, 15. And Jalen Waddle, you know, not the season we expected from him. I wouldn't call him a bust, but he is the wide receiver 28 on the season. I know I thought maybe he could be a top 12 receiver, him and Tyreek. And for whatever reason, Tua only has eyes for Tyreek right now. And, you know, it is what it is. So hopefully Jalen can get loose here in the next couple weeks. David Montgomery having a really good season. If you take out those games where he got hurt, I mean, he's putting up 16.5 fantasy points per week. Unfortunately, because of those injuries, he's only the running back 19. But this is like the opposite of the stat with Calvin Ridley. Maybe at the end of the year, if David Montgomery sticks around, you know, this running back 19 on the season, in next year's drafts, you're going to be like, running back 19, not too sure. Like, no, on a points per game basis, a.k.a. the games that he's played and been healthy, 16.5 fantasy points per game. That is elite usage, and he's splitting work and still getting it done. So, nonetheless, Jeter Skeeters falls to 2-10 on the season. While Gage maintains that playoff spot officially, he will be in the playoffs, 8-4 on the season. Congratulations. All right, our next matchup, heavyweight bout. This is Cody Rhodes taking on Roman Reigns. No, it's in the hunt. Elliot taking on Greg's team. And Greg takes the win. Woo! 139-105. Who's going to stop Greg? Greg is on a tear right now on the back of those Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott, 32 fantasy points, 331 yards through the air, and 4 passing touchdowns. It's not like he's getting these 1 yard rushing touchdowns that you can't really depend on. He's getting it done through the air, and he's got an amazing schedule coming up. I know this game was against Washington, and you say, well, you know, it's just Washington, but he's been doing this for the last few weeks, and it looks like it's going to be sustained value for fantasy football. CeeDee Lamb, that stack is going to, it's going to go well for Greg here. And if I had to redo my power rankings from 2 weeks ago, Greg would be high on that list. As far as his dud goes, it's going to be Jaylen Warren. Not a great game, 49 yards through on the ground and a fumble. You know, all that talk about him being the starter over Najee. Najee's still the starter. He's still the bigger back. Better days ahead for Jaylen Warren, but just not this particular week. But still puts up 139. In the hunt, takes the loss here, 105. Not too shabby. Triple digits, always good. 30 fantasy points from your stud, C.J. Stroud. You know, Greg and I were talking in our other chat, in our family chat, and you made a good point. If you're going to be streaming quarterbacks on the year, it gets no better than what he has, Dak Prescott, and what Elliott has in C.J. Stroud if you didn't take a top-end quarterback. These two are playoff teams, Elliott and Greg. And I can't wait to see what happens. I would love to see these two teams match up again in the playoffs. As far as your dud goes, I'm going Joseph Mixon. 16 yards on the ground is really hard to do. 16 yards. So we'll see if better days ahead. But no Joe Burrow means it could be tough sledding for Joe Mixon. So nonetheless, Elliott still in the driver's seat, still has a bye week. Locked, not locked up, but he has it currently sitting at 9-3, and Greg sitting at 8-4. Again, who's going to stop Greg? He's surging 5 wins in a row, and I believe he has the most points in the league. He sure does. So we'll see what happens moving forward. Nice matchup, boys. Our next matchup, Unleash the Beast. Alicia taking on Ball Too Well, Taylor's version. And Taylor takes the win 119-93. Great week from Taylor here on the back of Joshua, Jacob, Friedman, Allen. I don't know if that's his real name, but Josh Allen, 39 fantasy points. So we've already done a matchup that featured Jalen Hurts, who had over 30 fantasy points. We just did Greg's team. Dak Prescott over 30 fantasy points. But how about Josh Allen, the number one quarterback on the week? 39.66 fantasy points. Guy's electric. It's really too bad the Bills or the Eagles had to lose that game. It's to no fault of Josh Allen. Maybe that missed throw at the very end, but I blame Gabe Davis for running the wrong route. Josh Allen did everything possible to win that game and just came up short. Now 0-6 officially in overtime and 0-5 in overtime after the rule change from multiple years ago where he didn't get a chance with the ball, you know, him versus Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. So they changed the rules and he is now 0-5 in the playoffs. I'm sorry, in the overtime.
Obviously, you know, Christian McCaffrey could have been added in there, but that's every single week. So we are going to give the stud award to Josh Allen. As far as your dud goes, it has to be Adam Thielen. Somebody who we thought maybe was just ultra dependable for the rookie quarterback in Carolina. One catch, 2 yards. There's some hope. And I saw this happen with the Steelers. I picked up Pat Freiermuth in a couple leagues that I needed a tight end because they fired their offensive coordinator, meaning the Steelers. Just in case the new game plan was to get Pat Freiermuth involved. And turns out Pat Freiermuth had an epic week. I think he was the tight end one on the week. So, better days ahead for Adam Thielen now that the coach of the Carolina Panthers, Frank Reich, has been fired. Maybe whoever comes in says, hey, we got to get the veteran the ball to help progress our rookie quarterback, because that seemed to be going well in the beginning of the season. So hopefully better days ahead for Adam Thielen, but that's one of the worst performances I can think of, besides a goose, obviously. One catch, 2 yards, completely uninvolved. Moving on to Unleash the Beast, 93 points, not terrible, just not enough, unfortunately. Your stud is going to be Curtis Samuel. 2 weeks ago, was ejected out of the game, so we never really saw what he was going to, do coming off the injury. And I got to give props to Alicia for just throwing him right back in her lineup. And 9 catches for 100 yards, 14 fantasy points. We talk about, anywhere close to 15 fantasy points with no touchdown is just a great day. And, even in the loss, obviously the Commanders got destroyed by the Cowboys, but Curtis Samuel was the benefactor here. Again, 9 catches, 100 yards receiving. As far as her dud goes, Damian Pierce, I think you lost your job, bro. Damian Pierce, 14 yards rushing on the ground. In the loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, it looks like Devin Singletary has taken over that backfield. Probably going to be a 65-35 split moving forward. There is a scenario where obviously this could flip if Singletary fumbles, has a fumbling problem, or maybe is inefficient. But Damian Pierce wasn't a very efficient running back before his injury, and now that he's back, it looks like he is the backup running back there in Houston. And Damian Pierce was a high draft pick in fantasy draft, so it looks like he's kind of left for dead. So nonetheless, Alicia, with this loss, finds herself in the Build-A-Bear Bowl versus Jason. Jason does have a points lead on her. I'm taking a look here. Quick math. Yeah, we said just about over 50 points in favor of Jason. So if these two teams remain winless the next 2 weeks, Alicia would be last place and would have to perform the last place punishment. And Taylor takes the win, but her season is officially, well, I wouldn't say officially over. I believe 4% chance to make the playoffs, but sits at 5-7. It would need some help. Definitely needs Tom to lose both his matchups. She needs to win both hers. And unfortunately, it's not a good week to have Josh Allen on bye week. So we'll see if she can figure out a way to sneak into these playoffs here. But nonetheless, she finds herself out of last place punishment territory. Our next matchup is going to be between the Zen Crusaders. Chris Roach taking on the Teddy Bears. Matty Rivers. Matty's back. 128-117. Close matchup here. But as far as I'm concerned, Kyren Williams. My goodness. Is your stud of the week. 143 yards rushing. 2 receiving touchdowns. He took all the work away from Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. You have Cooper Kupp. I'm in a different league, my 13-year college league, where this podcast used to be, and I moved it over here. And I also have Kupp and Kyren Williams, and I guess I'll take it. If you split those points up, those are 2 good weeks. But Kyren just took all the work away from all the Rams players. So he's going to be your stud, and simultaneously, your dud's going to be Cooper Kupp. I know Darnold Parham Jr. got you a goose, 0-0, but it's all about expectation when we do studs and duds. And, excuse me, he didn't expect much from Donald Parham Jr., XFL superstar. Moving on to the Zen Crusaders, 117 points. Definitely it's a great score. I'm just saying it stinks to lose with that many points. I've gone through this in several leagues. There's nothing you can do about it. But this really destroyed your playoff chances here. Unfortunately, nothing more you could do. Looks like you made really good start sits, except for, of course, Gabe Davis. Everybody in the world has been starting Gabe Davis or benching him on the opposite weeks he goes off. So Gabe Davis on his bench, 19.5 fantasy points. But as far as your stud goes, we're going to go Keenan Allen, just Mr. Consistency. Why not? 14 receptions, 106 yards receiving, 15 fantasy points, again, with no touchdowns, is really hard to do. And Keenan Allen gets it done here. In contention, just a great start, Tyler Higbee, 17 fantasy points, 2 touchdowns. A little lucky. Touchdowns aren't sticky, especially for Tyler Higbee, who's only had a couple this year, if any. Yeah, he's only got 2 this year. So a desperate start that ended up working out, as he had Luke Musgrave go on IR. So he needed a start, and he got it from Tyler Higbee. As far as your dud goes, Saquon Barkley, yikes, 46 rushing yards. Pretty uninvolved in the passing game. I was a little worried last week about Saquon getting that amazing receiving touchdown. It was like a wheel route, like a 30-yard receiving touchdown for Saquon Barkley. That's an outlier. I traded Saquon in a keeper league that I'm in. I'm not going to depend on a 30-yard wheel route every week from Saquon Barkley. This is more of the Barkley that I believed was going to happen. The Giants offense stinks, and it's very much like Breece Hall. The other team knows exactly what the game plan is. Give Breece Hall the ball, give Saquon the ball, just stop him and you win the game. In crazy fashion, the Giants win the game somehow. So no thanks to Saquon. He tried his best, but 5 fantasy points here. But Chris Roach really needed that win. Now he's going to be struggling with bye weeks with Saquon on bye and James Cook. So Chris Roach no longer, I guess, just like Taylor, 4% chance, but most likely not a playoff team, sitting at 5-7. And Matty Rivers, he's back. The man that started 7-0 in the league, 8-4 now, finally gets off the schneid. I believe if you do the math correctly, if he was 7-0, that means he had 4 losses in a row. And he's back in the win column with Kyren Williams. And I think those two go hand in hand. He had a lot of points on his bench still too. So he's got a deep roster that he could use guys in and out because of bye weeks and injury. So we'll see if Matty Rivers is that top team that we all thought he was at the beginning of the season. And our final matchup is going to be myself, Mr. Fahrenheit the Fourth, taking on Chicken Tendies. And that's what I do, baby. I take down those top teams. I can't beat anyone else, but I take down the top teams in the league just to show you who the champion is. Currently a champ. But the belt is now up for grabs. 137-91. My team decided to finally all put it together. This is why I wasn't really trading a lot of my guys. I knew it was just bad touchdown luck that eventually was going to positively regress. And it did. Touchdowns all over the place, 137 points, studs everywhere. Don't even know where to go here, but I'll start with Zay Flowers. This matchup was well in hand already by the time Zay scored these touchdowns, but 5 catches, 25 yards, not super, elite, but 2 total touchdowns, 20 fantasy points for Zay Flowers. I will take that for a possession receiver. A little guy gets a rushing touchdown at the very end. Some say he should have kneeled down at the 1 to run the clock out. Hey, score the touchdown. If you don't know the situation, you got to score the touchdown, because if you kneel down at the 1 and you weren't supposed to for whatever reason, that's called for a benching. score the touchdown for us fantasy managers. So I'll take that. And I'm just happy to score 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns. Finally, I believe that's probably the most touchdowns I've had on a given week. I don't see a dud. Wow. I didn't expect to ever see a scenario where I'd give myself a no dud award. If you want to say Jahmyr Gibbs 9 fantasy points is a dud, that's fine, but I've seen a lot worse. And speaking of worse, we'll go to Chicken Tendies. Just a bad week for him. Has had a phenomenal season after losing Nick Chubb. Props to him for making all the correct moves and waiver wire pickups, and he's made a couple trades here. And one of the trades that I want to put in the forefront is, you know, it was, now we see it as a lose-lose, but Austin Eckler, 6.9 fantasy points, 32 rushing yards and a fumble. The conversation needs to be had. If Austin Eckler was a 26-year-old running back and, you know, we knew what he was capable of doing, we would just call these last couple games, they're just bad games. But at his age, in this broken offense, this broken team where the head coach is surely going to get fired, the conversation has to be had. Is Austin Eckler washed? Is he done? I still think he's got something left for the end of the year. If I'm Josh, whatever little nagging injury Austin Eckler has right now, because he has something, he's just not as explosive as he used to be. If he has a nagging injury, I'm begging the Chargers to sit him for 2 weeks and then have him come back for the fantasy playoffs. I don't know if that's how Josh feels, but Josh wants to make this deep playoff run. He's in the driver's seat, number one seed right now, and I'm thinking he would be happy if Austin Eckler would just sit a couple weeks to get healthy. But that doesn't help the Chargers' purposes. I mean, they could just shut him down. He's not, you know, he had a one-year contract, so he's probably not going to be with that team next year. So some weird days ahead for Austin Eckler. And DK Metcalf, 4 fantasy points. So I'm starting with the duds here. Just if we remember the trade, it was Austin Eckler and DK Metcalf were the two main names trading from Jason. And he gave Jason Tua and Aaron Jones. And Aaron Jones has been a complete wasteland. Austin Eckler, DK Metcalf, kind of the same. I know Eckler definitely helped Josh get a couple wins, but, you know, that's why we don't veto trades. I didn't think it was an even trade at the time. Now, this is all hindsight. When we grade trades at the time, you can only go by their current value. We didn't know Austin Eckler was going to kind of get washed here, but that's why you just complain about bad trades. You don't really veto them. You kind of just let them play out because you never know what could happen. And it looks like that trade was just kind of a wash. Tua got Jason a couple wins there. So, yeah, that's why you don't veto trades. As far as your stud goes, I don't know how Josh Jacobs managed 20 fantasy points, 110 yards rushing and a touchdown. He's so good. The Raiders were winning 14-0 against the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs did what they usually do. They just took the win from the Raiders' hands. And Josh Jacobs still, you know, he seems to be the main focus there. When Josh McDaniels got fired, the new interim head coach said, yeah, I'm just going to give the ball to Josh Jacobs every single play. And for Josh's purposes, he hopes that continues for his playoff run. So nonetheless, even in the loss, an awesome 10-2 record for Josh, number one seed as it stands right now, 2 games left. And Mr. Fahrenheit, with that win and the amount of points that I have, I am officially safe from the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Thank goodness. We got bye weeks and stuff coming up, so I didn't want to mess around with that. And nonetheless, good matchup between friends. Josh took, you know, beat me week one, so I'm glad to avenge my loss here. But yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode. It's good to be back. Only a couple episodes left, and I can't wait to do my second favorite episode. My first favorite is the draft grades. My second favorite is the playoff predictions, which will be the last show of the year. I'll do regular studs and duds and matchups and stuff week 14, and then I'll do an extra show for that first Thursday which starts our playoffs, the Thursday night game, and I'll do a playoff prediction show. We'll take a look at just playoff teams. At that point, we will already know who the last place team is. We can kind of poke fun at them and make sure that this last place punishment gets done perfectly the way that we as the league foresee it happening. I mean, there's no cutting corners. Unfortunately, Alicia is not from around here, so we need to make sure somehow, if it's her, that she gets this done alone. There can't be no family with her. She's got a husband and kids. They can't go to the restaurant with her. She's got to do it alone. And if it's Jason, that's a local punishment, and I'll be in the building for that one. So thanks for listening to this week's episode. Can't wait for next week. Again, our playoff teams are pretty much set, but let's still get these podcasts pumping out, and can't wait for the playoffs to start for you guys. I'm just glad I'm not in last place. I'll talk to you guys on the other side. Have yourself a great week.